Welcome to Reading the Grid with Erin and Ina. Each week, we explore the stories behind books, movies, and shows that highlight the history of this dynamic sport. Buckle up for a fast-paced journey through Formula One. Today, we're in full crystal ball mode. That's right, this is our predictions episode, and we're locking in our calls ahead of the action in Baku. The Baku City Circuit is no ordinary street track. It's the fastest one on the calendar, with a monster 2 kilometer straight where cars can hit nearly 370 kilometers per hour. But it also winds through the old town in sections so tight they're barely wider than the cars themselves. That mix of raw speed and razor-thin precision makes it unpredictable, and the stats back it up. More than half the races here bring out a safety car. Overtakes are plentiful, and survival is just as important as outright pace.
Historically, Charles Leclerc has owned qualifying in Baku with 4 pole positions in a row, starting from 2021 through last year. May the streak continue. Sergio Perez, dubbed King of Azerbaijan by Oscar Piastri, has been the king of race day with 2 wins, and Ferrari and Red Bull both tend to shine when they get the setup balance right. But as we know, Baku always leaves room for chaos, and that's why our predictions are about to get bold. So let's dive into our calls for who's going to surprise, who's going to struggle, and what madness might unfold on the streets of Baku. Erin, who do you have on pole position for the Azerbaijan Grand Prix?
I'm torn between 2 drivers, but I'm going to put Oscar Piastri on pole.
I'm very happy you did that, because I know it's going to be shocking, but I'm putting Charles Leclerc for pole position. Now, he has a streak. I hope it continues and actually results in a conversion, because it was a little bit of a downer that he didn't get the win last year. So I need him to have a redemption. And it starts with him again being on pole.
Well, he was my other driver I was contemplating putting on pole, but I figured I'll go with Oscar so you can have Charles.
Thank you for doing that. I actually think your prediction might come in first before mine, or somebody else entirely will sneak in.
Like a Max Verstappen, which could happen.
I hope not, because hopefully I don't think Red Bull is that great at street circuits. I mean, they're good, but I think their operating window for performance is narrower on street circuits than elsewhere. And I have hope that it won't be the same thing that happened in Monza will not happen in Baku. Although the two tracks share some characteristics, they're very different.
Did you see the Formula One troll post where it had McLaren, it had Piastri, Norris, Stella, Zach, like pulling the team like in order, Red Bull, it had the entire team in a cart and only Max pulling it. And then Ferrari, it has Charles pulling, Hamilton pushing the cart, and then everyone else pointing backwards, trying to pull them in the opposite direction. So you have Charles and Lewis going one way and the rest of the team going the other way.
I have not seen it, but that is so accurate to it's what it feels like.
It's terrifyingly accurate.
But I did see one, which was very funny, where it was actually a real picture of Ferrari mechanics looking at a McLaren car, and the little cloud that talks about what they're talking about said, if we paint it red, do you think it will work?
P3, I'm going to keep Hamilton in P3 just because I think he's going to be permanently in P3 the rest of the year until he gets on the podium.
I gotcha. Well, let's see. What do I do with my predictions? Because I'm, as usual, I know what I want to see, P3 through P1. There's also what logically should happen, P3 to P1. And then there's strategy, because I know You go first this week, so you're P1. If I don't pick that driver anywhere in my P3, P2, then I can't put them on the podium, and that's gonna, I mean, it's gonna be fun prediction, but I don't think it has a prayer of coming true. So my P3 is, and I hate to say it, is Charles Leclerc.
He's not converting pole to win.
He's not. I mean, I really, really
Oh.
want him to, but every time I put him in P1, it never happens. So there's a little bit of a reverse psychology. And I honestly think this Ferrari is worse than last year's Ferrari. And if we all remember, it was a very traumatic race because, yes, he ended up being on the podium, but barely, and only thanks to Perez and Sainz crashing behind him. And they were both faster than him. So it was very likely he was going to be off the podium completely. So I think getting on the podium is already a challenge this year. So I'm putting in P3 with the hopes that my streak prevails and he just ends up higher.
All right, that's fair. So, who do you have at P2 then?
Only because I'm sure he's going to be your P1. So for my P2, I have Oscar Piastri.
Well, I can't promise you he's going to be my P1, but I definitely have him on my podium.
All right. Well, you only have two places left, and I already
I
took
know. So,
P2
I
as
have
Oscar.
Hamilton, and then I am so torn. It is Patrick's birthday today. So I will put his favorite driver, Lando Norris, at P2.
Okay.
And then you're right, I will put Oscar at P1 because I just have faith in that Aussie.
Right. So this is my dilemma with P1 because technically I should probably go for Lando, right? Chances are McLaren are going to be the best. Although we all remember last year where he had a horrible qualifying and he made it up in the race, but he was not getting P1.
No, and he wasn't even on the podium.
No.
No, it was Piastri, Leclerc, Russell, right?
Correct. Well, Russell only because the two car being in
Well,
front of
right.
him. I don't
That's
think
typically how
Mercedes.
Russell, I feel like, finds three.
Yes.
There's a combination of skill and luck.
But I also think if it's going to be hot, is Mercedes going to be that good?
Probably not. They do
So,
well on
all right,
cooler tracks.
fine. I'll put Lando Norris in P1.
All right, there you go. Patrick will be happy.
There you go. For Patrick. That's
For
right. I'm
Pat
doing
for
this for
Pat
Patrick.
for Patrick's birthday.
For Patrick's birthday, I'm putting Lando Norris.
Well, we each have a Ferrari driver on the podium in P3, just different drivers. Where do you think Hamilton is going to land?
I want him to land higher than I've given him credit so far, which was P5, but he didn't even make it in Monza. But that was due to the grid
Well,
penalty.
he had a fun, yeah.
All right, I'm putting him P4.
Ooh, I think that's the highest you've ever put Hamilton.
It is, so he better deliver. What about you?
Well, I was going to do the same for Leclerc. I was going to put Leclerc in P4. So,
Fair.
all right.
Okay.
Give me a wild best of the rest. What do you have?
Well, Williams usually do well in Baku. So one of them, I believe, will be definitely in the top seven, but I'm going to go
Okay.
bold. And let's do a Williams and P5. And I'm going to leave it
Williams.
as vague as that.
Oh, you're not going to predict which one?
No, I want to leave it as vague as that. If I had to put a name, I would be Alex Albon, but I'm curious because again, Sainz was on track to be on podium last year. He definitely would have, and some would say, or I would say, that his rush to get ahead of Leclerc put him in the position where he collided with Perez.
Perez, yeah.
Because I think he would have still He would have been, he was fast. He was so much faster, he would have totally overtaken Leclerc. So I
Now
think
remember, that's a different Ferrari
it was a Ferrari, completely
and not a
different. But it was
Williams.
right. That's why I'm not saying he's going to be in the
Okay.
podium. I said P5. So it's chances are it could be Sainz. But if you told me I had to pick, absolutely had to pick one, it was definitely be Albon. And my other one would be. I want some redemption for Kimi Antonelli. So I think I'm gonna again roll out. If you can do Hamilton P3 every time until it happens, I'm gonna do Antonelli outperforms George Russell until that happens.
So you have forgiven him for the whole Charles Leclerc incident? Is
No.
that what you're saying?
Okay, I may have forgiven him. I have not forgotten.
Okay, that's
But I
fair.
still want him to perform well because I think what Monza showed is that, and it's so sad that it happened in Monza, which is his home race, is that like now he may be too tentative to try anything, which is also not good. So I wish for him to find a happy medium and I wish for him to do a successful overtake as Leclerc did on Russell in Zandvoort. That before Kimi interfered with the whole result, I wish that for Kimi that he gets ahead of Russell, stays there, and I think that will do a lot for his confidence.
I agree. Okay, so Antonelli finishes higher than Russell. I am going to also hold on to a repeat from last time and have a little redemption for Fernando Alonso. One, this would require him to not have power unit failure and finish the race. But I will say Alonso will be P6 or higher, which really only gives him P5 because I already have four and up figured out.
So curious, and I
Yes.
realized I have to do this as well. Where do you put Max then?
Oh, that's a great question.
I realize where I'm putting him since my first five places have been taken.
Well, I have five and then 7, 8, 9, 10 open for Max, and he is welcome to fit into any of those.
Fair. And I want to say I have everything after five open, so he's welcome to take those any of those spots as well.
Those are all fully available and ready to go for Red Bull.
No, I think Red Bull could be good. It's just they don't have Perez, and this is the one race where he used to outperform Max.
Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe by some miracle, Yuki will have a wildly successful weekend and channel his inner Perez this weekend.
That would be fun to see.
That would be fun to see.
As long as there's no crash at the end, like it was with Paris and Sainz, although that kind of made the race.
Well, it did. It added, yes. However, let's have Yuki not take out any of our drivers.
Please, please
Yes.
don't.
Well, let's spill a little bit of the grid. We'll talk about some of the off-track drama that's happened in the past week or so. Ina, do you want to catch us up on Ferrari?
Well, they had two departures from their engineering team. Wolf Zimmermann and Lars Schmidt left for Audi, which makes sense because Audi is a German team. They're obviously Germans and an Italian team, so it could be viewed as they finally have a team that they can take national pride in. Obviously, Mercedes wasn't doing it for them, so they switched to Audi. Also, so Audi it, Sa Sauber is going to become Audi next year, and their technical advisor is Mattia Binotto, former team principal of Ferrari. So it makes sense that he lured them there. It's just a very suspicious timing. There are rumors, and I just want to say it's rumors because, of course, nobody wants to admit anything openly, but there are rumors that there must be issues with Ferrari power unit for 2026, and that is the reason they're leaving, which is very, very disturbing news.
That's not helping my hopium at all.
Now it puts a real dent to it. In addition, there are again rumors, unconfirmed, unsubstantiated rumors, that the head of aerodynamics, Diego Tondi, is close to leaving the team. So that's a different side of the technical bubble.
Oh boy.
Yep. And also, this has been confirmed that the performance engineer, Jacques Lear, is also leaving the team. Now, he's been with the team for a while, so it could be completely unrelated reasons. It just seems a lot of departures at a very critical time for Ferrari.
It definitely does. That's concerning.
It's very concerning. So, not that I had too much hopium for 2026, but it's already taken a dent, and we haven't even gotten to the end of this year. But I'm very concerned about that engine because everyone is saying it's an engine formula. Everyone is saying teams have taken different paths to developing. And what are the chances that Ferrari is the one team on the right path?
Well, yikes. I did see that 2026, speaking of engines, the manufacturers and customer teams have been confirmed. Did you see this?
Yes, but I
It was a
thought
cool
nothing really
graphic.
new. Yeah, it was a cool
No.
graphic, but nothing new.
So Aston will have Honda, Ferrari will fuel Cadillac, Haas, and Ferrari. Mercedes has the most with Mercedes, McLaren, Alpine, and Williams. And then Red Bull powertrains with Ford will have V-Carb and the main team. And then Audi is supplying Audi.
Right. So that's going to be additional manufacturer, which I think could be
Yes,
interesting.
it will be. And Honda's just down to Aston.
Yeah. So maybe they get it right. And Aston is just amazing.
Maybe. I hope not, selfishly. And then we saw Carlos Sainz had petitioned about his two penalty points, and those were successfully removed from his race in Zandvoort, where he received that penalty.
Yeah, that was interesting because that was the race where he demanded to see the stewards after the race. They wouldn't meet with
I
him.
know. I'm so glad they finally did, though, because I thought they.
Well, I
I
think
can't recall a time that they denied a meeting.
which is ridiculous, but also I think they had to because there was an official appeal. So it was the right decision. Of course, it didn't help him to change the result in the race, but at least the penalty points went away. So I'm surprised Haas didn't do it for Behrman because in Monza, Behrman had an incident with Sainz, and we both felt that his penalty points were not deserved. And he's now at 10. So for him to get his po penalty points removed is much more important than for Carlos Sainz.
Definitely. Well, maybe they've started that process. We just haven't heard anything about it yet.
Absolutely, that's fair. So, did you see that Max was racing on the off weekend
I
at
did.
Nuremberg? Yeah, it was a series that I'm not familiar with, but it was interesting because they had every type class of car is on the field. So Max, I think his class was GT4, which is obviously more spec series, lower level class that only, and in his specific category, there were only three cars. And he qualified extremely well. And then I just saw the video of the start where all the other car, because he doesn't have the right license. So that's the reason he entered into this race, is because he wanted to get enough experience that he needed to get a license to compete at a higher level car. And the funny thing is, because he didn't have the right license, he had to have less horsepower. And the car was a lot heavier than the others. So the way that he dropped in the beginning was hilarious because, like, that never
I'll
happens.
have to go watch this video.
Yes, it was very funny because he just, like, dropped like a stone. Because, understandably, he didn't have the power
It's
to, or
hard to
do.
think that Max has a learning curve.
Yeah, well, it's not even, he was just inhibited by the machinery because
That
he, again,
sounds
he.
better.
Yes, because he qualified for that class extremely, like, extremely well. So anyway, the point is he was supposed to drive two cars in the race. I didn't realize you can switch cars in the race. I mean, this.
That's wild, wild
Yeah,
rules.
the whole rule. So one of his car, the cars he was supposed to switch into did not start because it had issues. So he completed all of his laps in one car, and that was one of the prerequisites for the license that he had
Their car.
classified. He had to cl be classified twice, basically. And if he completed 7 laps in one, 7 laps in another, he would have been classified as completing two races. So he did all of his laps in one car. So technically, he didn't have it. And this
Got
is an
it.
interesting series. It's World Endurance Championship. So there was like a 4-hour race on Saturday and a 4-hour race on Sunday. So he was technically supposed to come back, but they made an exception because they're allowed to make exceptions when granting him a license. So they made an exception. And the exception allowed him to get his license.
Oh,
So
good.
he'll be racing at a higher level series, I believe in a Ferrari in a couple of weeks.
I'm just surprised Red Bull is allowing him to do this during the season.
Well, I think that's why he's still at Red Bull. Because I have a
I just can't
feeling.
imagine. I just don't see this. He's such a valuable asset to the team. God forbid if anything were to happen to him. I mean, he is the team.
Fair, but what I'm saying is Toto may not have been
So willing.
that happy about it, right, to allow him to do that. Whereas Red Bull, like, I think they're in a position they can't say no. Because at any
I'd say you're
point
probably right.
he can be like,
Yeah.
okay, I'm out of here because you're not allowing me to do what I want. But on the other hand, like, this is the series where he goes a lot slower and he's such a stable driver.
That's fair.
You
I mean, he is one of the
probably.
drivers I would entrust my life with in a hot lap, so.
Right. So I think, again, unfortunately, apparently in that series, actually a lot of accidents happen. But again, where he was and the machinery he had under him, like, there was no point in risking anything. But it's still, no matter what you do, right, there's still a risk. So
There's a risk.
I think Red Bull was being very, very generous to him in terms of allowing for that risk to be taken and dealing with the consequences, if there were any such consequences.
Definitely.
But it's so funny because it, like, the stories about from that, right? So apparently, like, so many people were interested then in this race that like 50,000 people showed up at the track that doesn't see anywhere near that much for that particular race. And then the scoring website crashed because so many people were going on it trying to get updates on the scores.
Did he race under Franz Hermann or Max
No,
Verstappen? He did not use his code name.
No, and that's why they think there was such an interest
Got it.
that, yeah. And
That's
then
funny.
they actually there were actually like fam cams of like people like rows deep around his garage just to
Wow.
get a glimpse of him showing
That's
up.
cool. All right. Well, I guess we'll see how he does in this series. And that's a wrap on our predictions for Baku. We've made our calls, taken some risk, and now it's just a matter of seeing how much chaos the streets of Azerbaijan delivers. Remember, Baku is never straightforward. Safety cars, surprise podiums, heartbreak in the castle section. It's all possible. And we'll be back right after the race to see how our predictions stacked up.
In the meantime, we want to hear from you. Who do you think will come out on top? Send us your predictions on social or drop them in the comments, and we'll shout out some of our favorites in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to Reading the Grid. Make sure you're following the show on your favorite podcast app. And if you're enjoying the ride with us, leave a review. It helps more F1 fans like you find the show. I'm Erin.
I'm Ina, and we'll see you after the lights go out in Baku.